Welcome to Writing Lessons From. I am Jenny, and every episode I go through a TV show, a film, a book, a podcast, a comedy special, a game. Will we do a game? Anything that's a story, basically, and I break it down and try to find the lessons that we as creative writers and storytellers can take from that story. This is episode 2. Of the Writing Lessons From blogcast, a blogcast because this started off as a project on Substack, and I did that for almost a year. So this is basically me reading out the articles that I wrote back then. And this episode is all about Ozark. And this was the first official Writing Lessons From. I had the idea for Writing Lessons From way before. And I did a few blog posts and things, and I played around with it for a bit. But this one was the very first official, proper, let's do this. And it was first published on the 1st of March, 2024. So over a year ago. But before we get into that, how are you doing? I have been collecting sea glass on a beach near me, got into beachcombing about a month ago. And I'm slowly filling the house with, let's be honest, litter, but very pretty litter that is actually treasure, actually. And I've bought some little dinky cork bottles, little glass bottles with a cork on the top. And I've been cleaning the sea glass and finding the prettiest bits, putting it into these bottles. And I'm going to have a go to see if anyone wants them at some book fairs I'm going to later this year. Just a little experiment. And today was the first time that I accidentally left some sea glass in my pockets, put the clothes in the washing machine, and then wondered what that clunky noise was when I took everything out of the washing machine. I found 2 bits of sea glass. Hopefully that's all there was. So yeah, didn't think to check my pockets before I put them in the wash. Never mind. At least they're clean. The sea glass is very clean, whoever gets those bits. So anyway, if anyone wants to know what kind of procrastination I do when I should be writing, that's the one. That's it. Right, Ozark. Let's get on with it. The resistance to watch Ozark was strong. There were just too many people singing its praises. And did I really want to watch something so dark and violent, even if Jason Bateman was in it? Turns out I did. And I'm so glad I did. There are 4 seasons of Ozark, and I'm going to say this up front, the writing is incredibly clever. As I was watching, binging, I tried to work out how the writers had done it, with that piece of dialogue, an argument here, this scene that grows the tension and leaves you on the edge of your seat. I wanted to write all the articles trying to break it down and work it all out, to share what I could figure out with you, but it was all too much, to the point where it was overwhelming. And then we watched season 4, the final season, the ending of this incredible drama thriller. And it was... Disclaimer, this article is about the ending of Ozark, the final season, the end. It contains spoilers, massive spoilers. Who lives? Who dies? How? Why? Seriously, if you haven't watched the end of Ozark and you don't want to know yet, go and watch it. Binge it. It is very bingeable. And then come back to this. Ahead, there be spoilers. An ordinary couple with their 2 children are living their lives in Chicago when a past decision comes back to haunt them. Marty, played by Jason Bateman, is an accountant and has amazing skills for balancing books, seeing where problems lie and creating solutions. In other words, he's every money launderer's dream. Which is why the second biggest, scariest Mexican cartel wanted to work with him. He didn't go into this decision alone. Marty worked with the cartel alongside his business partner, who meets a grisly demise in the very first episode, and after a good discussion with his wife, Wendy, played by the amazing Laura Linney. Forced to think quick before he's shot in the head, Marty offers the cartel the idea of moving to the Ozarks, a small town full of lakes, and setting up a money laundering base there. Cue 3 seasons of Ozark as Marty and Wendy uproot their family, buy a house by the lake that comes with an old dying man, and immediately and rather desperately embark on taking over the local businesses. In doing so, they ruin the money laundering operations already in place and earn themselves some enemies, as well as some unlikely friends. So many people die because of Marty and Wendy. I could honestly write so much about Ozark, most notably a study of creating characters with such depth that you're constantly changing your mind about whether they should die for the sake of those around them or not. And the magic of creating such formidable female characters in a world of men. I mean, Darlene terrified me, but I think Wendy terrified me more. While we're on the subject of incredibly powerful female characters, it's arguable who the main character of Ozark is. You think it's going to be Marty, but it ultimately becomes Ruth. Wonderful, vulnerable, strong Ruth, who flips from redneck to kind soul to clever woman to business queen. Ozark is the story of her growth, all of her potential and everything she could and should have been, punctuated by me shouting, "For the love of God, leave now! Get as far away from these people as you can!" at the TV screen. This meant that the final season of Ozark had to be powerful. It had to be strong. It had to mean something. Because that's exactly what the three seasons that came before it were leading to. And yet it fell flat for me. And not just because of how Nelson died. Yes, Nelson was my favourite. That scene with him and the therapist was one of the best in the entire show. The only real glimpse we got into his personality, and yet he was a heavy presence throughout the second half of the show. He is a beacon of clever writing, especially for secondary characters. I am incredibly angry about how Nelson died. The problem with deaths in a TV show like Ozark is that it's just so final. How do you make the death of a character that so many people love mean something? How do you do it justice? I'm going to focus on the last death in the series and ultimately the most important death in the whole thing. This is the big spoiler. Are you ready? The death of Ruth. While I'm annoyed with how Nelson died, he wasn't a main character. He deserved better, but I also don't imagine many people cared. But Ruth... Ruth was right there from the first episode to the last. Ruth went on a journey, a much bigger journey than Marty or Wendy. Let's start with this. Ruth had to die. From a storytelling and writing perspective, it had to happen. We all wanted her to run away, to forget about Marty and Wendy and their family, but let's face it, she was never going to get out of this alive. There's a poetic justice to it. Everyone who meets Marty and Wendy is doomed. The opium farmers, the whole of Ruth's family. Only three survived, and they were annoyingly quiet about him at the end. I'm assuming he's in therapy. And that's three, the character, not three people. There was a character called Three. Isn't that a brilliant name? Their marriage therapist, also doomed. The scary cartel dude who hired them in the first place. The cartel boss. Even Wendy's own brother. Oh, which was brilliantly done and utterly heartbreaking. As much as I sort of wanted Wendy to die at the end, both Marty and Wendy had to survive, maybe. This whole thing was their fault. It was their decision. They are the reapers, sweeping through the lives of everyone they meet and bringing destruction. So Ruth had to die. But how? You can tell that a lot of work was put into Ruth's death. The clothes she's wearing, the setting, how the scene played out. But the whole thing didn't leave me feeling sad. I didn't shed a tear. I bawled my eyes out for lovely sweet Ben. I didn't jump or shout the way I did for evil Darlene and poor innocent Wyatt. This was possibly because I knew it was coming. The whole season was just waiting for the final episode for Ruth to die. But I actually put most of the meh feeling down to who killed her. The cartel's boss, Omar's sister, Camilla, who was plotting to take over her brother's operation. Another fiercely terrifying female character to join the ranks of Wendy and Darlene. And yet she was a newcomer, which was, I think, the problem. I had no strong feelings for Camilla, other than an annoyance at her swanning in and killing a load of characters I really liked. Ruth had to die, but she deserved to die at the hands of someone important, not just some woman we barely know. That could have happened at any time. No, Ruth deserved her death to mean something. Instead, Camilla followed her home and shot her, and that's all she wrote. Eh. So what are the writing lessons here? If your character was born to die and you've built them into this wonderful fan favourite, give them a good death. I cannot express that enough. Yes, it's hard to do, because everything worth something in this world is hard. That's where the genius and talent and wonderful magic of storytelling lies. In not going with your first idea, in pushing for something more, something better. How would I have written Ruth's death? I think Wendy should have killed her. I think Marty could have dived in front to save Ruth, because throughout all of this, he's tried so hard to pretend to be a good man with Ruth at the centre. In anger and grief and shock at shooting her husband, Wendy goes into a blind rage and shoots Ruth. And this time there's no one there to save her. Ruth goes down, Wendy is broken, because Marty was never the true Reaper. Because Ozark is a story about strong women, not scary strong men. Because Wendy couldn't die, but perhaps in killing Ruth, and maybe Marty, she would be reborn, to rise up against Camilla, to become the new kingpin, or perhaps to sink into the darkness and wait for revenge. Oh, ending a story can be so difficult. I don't know if the makers of Ozark wanted a season 5 or for a different platform to give them a chance, but perhaps that's why they didn't go out guns blazing. As it is, for me, Ozark died with a whimper, which is a huge shame considering what a formidable piece of moving art the rest of it was. This was another article about endings, wasn't it? I didn't do that on purpose. I didn't even realise until just now. And it's been over a year since I wrote the article for Ozark and the article for A Quiet Place, which was episode 1 of the Writing Lessons From podcast, of this podcast, blogcast, sorry. They're both about endings. There's going to be a lot of endings stuff. Endings are just, they can be so incredibly powerful and they're so important, and yet they are so difficult to get right. I have previously tried to kind of categorize all of these articles. It didn't go well. It was a bit of a headache. I'm going to find a better way of doing that, especially, they're not all going to be about endings, but I think, you know, especially if there's going to be a few about endings, but they are not all about endings. I'm trying to remember if the next episode is about endings. And you know what? It isn't. So you can just go and listen to that one now. Promise you, it's not about writing a good ending, right? It's about something different. So I'll see you over there. Okay, love you. Bye.